Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foy & Associates Personal Injury Law.
Appreciate all the input and text messages and responses in regards to the Falcons, who are getting ready tomorrow. We'll be talking more about them being in Indy, guys, and these joint practices. Again, hopefully we'll find out a little bit more about our team, Mike, but a bunch of guys, talking about our conversation, and a bunch of folks, should I say, men and women, who listen to the show, talking about our conversation in regards to the Falcons. I thought the funniest tweet of the day was from Allison earlier in the day when she said, if this is a gap year, Mike, then I want gap prices on my season tickets.
Well, just hold off on that one there, Allison. That's not going to be forthcoming. I mean, like I said, it's been wrestling with my conscience, Carl, about this. And I was joking around today on our pre-show. We do it on YouTube and Twitch. It's called Behind the Curtain. So I dropped it on Day Day and Carl today. And I said, I'll just say it on the air. Believe me, I'm a Falcon fan. We got season tickets. If you're new to the show, maybe we take it for granted. You know this. We have season tickets. You know, that was the first time I was up in the press box. That stadium's been around since 17.
Oh, when we did Mercedes the high school
games? Yeah, last week for Corky Kell. Yeah, yeah. We're fans. You know, we're fans. We're also journalists. But we have fun doing it. But we want to see this team win. And a guy, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong about Michael Penix. I hope Michael Penix has a long career as a Falcon. And it all starts this season. Hopefully not in November, according to Dan Orlovsky.
November?
But it's just a lot of stuff. A lot of things that just aren't 100% right now about this football team. Regardless of what we saw, that has nothing to do with one game to meaningless preseason game. I'm just talking about where's the pass rush. That's why they went and signed who they signed today. Who did they sign today?
It was Za'Darius Smith.
Za'Darius Smith. Sorry,
yeah.
I have it in front
yeah, yeah,
of me.
Yeah.
But Za'Darius Smith, 70.5 sacks, a guy that Stefanski knows from his time in Cleveland, a guy that, you know, a couple of years ago was one of the preeminent pass rushers in the league and still has had a hell of a career.
No, he's been and look, I commend him for this because, again, they could have sat on their hands and said, we got everybody we need in-house, which maybe they do. But you still need depth. You still need reinforcements. And here's the thing. I've said this. This idea like James Pierce Jr., he might, after the 8-week suspension, be right back out there. But I don't know. It could be 9 weeks before we see him. So
right. How do they ramp it up?
Yeah.
I mean, he balls out. Does he pick up where he left off? Does he struggle? You know, is Tua going to become the starting quarterback and then he's going to relinquish the job? As I said, I don't think Falcon fans expect this season to be a workshop for Michael Penix.
No.
But if it is, that's a gap year. That's why I said what I said.
All right, what's going on with this Lakers situation? Just real quick.
Jeannie Buss is really smart, and her brothers aren't.
Okay.
And she basically says, I'm not ready to sell out, but it's the majority. It's basically, it is exactly like the movie or the HBO series Succession, where the majority rules, and the owner who is selling after making, you know, buying the Lakers for 10, selling for 12, is getting out, and Jeannie Buss is not prepared to get out of the basketball business, and I guess they're 18% controlling, or they're 18% controlling interest.
Five of the six members of the family in this trust are united in their decision. And that statement comes in wake of Jeannie Buss. She is the current governor, okay, of the team, and the only sibling to abstain from the vote to sell. So, Mike, if one says no, then that means they don't go. That's how this usually works. And look, you know, Johnny, Jimmy, Janie, Joey, Jesse, and I'm not, that's not a rock band. That's the family members, okay? Made the decision to sell the family's remaining stakes, and they said we remain united. It's just, this is a family mess. And here's the moral of the story. For poor folks and rich people, get your business straight.
Yes.
Right? Dad left this in a way that they could have this for the rest of their lives and their kids' kids. And you know, the statement yesterday, Mike and I were talking about, well, we're just trying to get out, you know, while we're able. And you're like, okay, well, you guys are already filthy. You know, you don't ever have to worry about any money.
Right.
I think Jeannie Buss, to your point, is the only one that understands the legacy part of this.
Right.
Right? And she's not in it to get another couple of billion dollars or a couple of million dollars. I think that the stake that they own, Mike, is worth, I don't know, $25, $30 million. But regardless, her being the governor, she still has a say. And that's a part of that about this. And I don't know how this is going to go down, but man, it seems like it's a mess. And by the way, give credit to who we're talking about, Dede Shelburne, Ramona. She's been all over this. And and the crazy thing is today, I think Shams went on Pat McAfee and was like, no, I'm defending this. This is the story.
So you got ESPN on ESPN violence.
That's exactly right.
You got one reporter saying, I got it right. The other one saying, oh, I've got it right. Interesting.
Mm. Yeah. and I don't know at this point who has it right, but this is the new reporting that five Buss siblings are united in selling the shares. Jeannie's like, no, we're not. and we'll see where it goes.
17.8% of what would be valued at $12 billion. So that's a nice chunk of change.
It's a little bit of money.
Yeah, it's a lot more than 30 mil. But no, it just, and again, the Jeff Perlman, again, Jeff Perlman doesn't get everything right, but there's been multiple stories written about the Buss family over the years and how, you know, for years the sons were kind of favored over Jeannie, and they kind of showed it in the docudrama on HBO about how she actually was really sharp and did really good work, first with the tennis team that he owned and then getting involved with the Lakers. And, you know, she's been a really astute business person.
Yep.
And the other kids seem to be a bit flaky, and that's the way they've been always been portrayed. So now they want to cash in.
All right. For those who missed it, a couple of things about Georgia. We had Connor Riley on today talking about what's going on with practices. And one of the things that came out is Progressive is going to be involved with Georgia.
Yes, it's still a giant G. Despite the memes you've seen, there'll be no giant face of Flo on the 50-yard line at Sanford Stadium. We're not going to make jokes about car issues with insurance and insurance companies. It's been a fatality and a tragedy. But people have jokes basically saying, ironic, they would Progressive even insure the Georgia football drivers. But those, not our jokes, their jokes.
Yeah. And Cole Spear, Mike, added to the roster, according to our buddy Rusty Manziel of UGASports.com, by the way. What's up, Rusty? But Spear spent the previous four seasons at Georgia playing largely a special team standout. He blocked a punt last year's SEC championship game, but they added him, and it's something else we were talking about today with Connor Riley. Go check out the full interview. But the whole deal was, the offense apparently didn't look great in that first scrimmage. And everybody was saying, oh, the people who were there with their own eyes were like, defense kind of – and it's to be expected. I said this, the defense is going to be good.
And Jim generally has the edge the first couple of weeks of practice.
I want to see what happens this weekend. When they get this second scrimmage and what happens with the offense. But I don't think Dog fans should be concerned at all. This is just part of it. Every year I feel like we have this conversation with Kirby in that first scrimmage where Kirby's going off. They didn't look good. And then they come out and they blow doors.
And Jameer Dean, a big-time wide receiver recruit for Georgia out of Alcoa High School in Eastern Tennessee.
Yeah.
Same school as Randall Cobb, according to our man Rusty Manziel. But apparently this guy's all-world. That's a recruit for this next year for UGA football.
That's a big one, right? That's
supposedly.
A big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Spear kid added an extra year of eligibility after Colorado judge temporarily granted all 2022 signees a fifth year of eligibility.
Bingo. That's the big defensive player that came back to Indiana under the same rule.
Yeah, that's what the deal is. Tomorrow, by the way, we will be talking more Falcons, obviously. These joint practices are important. As I said, we'll be getting tidbits, not the full, you know, Miguel, as far as what's going down. But this is what we do know already. And Kevin Stefanski said it. Michael Penix will only participate in 7-on-7. We already know that. So if you're expecting to hear something new in regards to Penix and playing 11-on-11, Mike, that's not going to happen this week.
No, and again, we would love to know that we have a real competition. And that's maybe why I'm so down on this team right now. We never got down. Well, we just never got the competition we wanted to see. We wanted to see Tua. Here's Tua. Here's Penix. We can come on the radio and go, hey, man, saw Penix do this. He did this better than Tua. Saw Tua do this, yada, yada, yada.
Sure.
We haven't had that yet. It's not apple. It's apples to oranges. We haven't been able to go Tua versus Penix Jr. And look, Jack Strand, he's still learning the game at this level. I know he's the backup. Backup is always everybody's favorite. Cooper Rush didn't look good at all in that first preseason game. And you want to see improvement, but you're not going to get to see Tua or Penix. And you're not going to see a bunch of guys in this game on Saturday night because all the work is going to go on at practice. We're talking about practice. Now, we will talk. Day-Day, who's coming on the show from the Colts TV and radio? It's Greg Rakestraw is a guy that's up there in Indy. Hopefully he'll have eyes on this stuff so he can tell us what we saw. So he can tell us what he saw and we'll know what's happening up there.
Yeah. And by the way, we're not – please understand this. The Za'Darius Smith signing is a smart signing. They're trying to help this pass rush knowing that Jeff Olbrich, the defensive coordinator, did an amazing job last year. Nobody expected us to be second in the league in sacks. Now, it didn't result in a playoff run, but – you're trying to fill the void of two rookies that really popped for you last year and, you know, James Pierce suspension. So just so people get the sense, like, we're just mentioning it. It's a big deal. Hopefully he can come in here and play. But remember, he's 34 years old now.
As I said, I mean, I wasn't being a wise ass. I mean, if we could have gotten him, you know, back in 18 or 19, that would have been the time to pick. I mean, again, he's a stud.
And he retired five games in last year.
And Stefanski knows him from Cleveland, so there's familiarity there. But you got, you've got some dudes. Brandon Dorlus is technically, you know, he's kind of defensive lineman, but he can be an edge guy. He gave us 9 sacks last year. Ebukam, you got a bunch of guys on prove-it deals. Ojulari, who Georgia fans are familiar with. So, you know, you missed Jalen Walker. They knew Pierce was going to be out, so this is why. They get a guy that, but does it bother you that he tapped out last year?
No, I think that's where his head was. And then, you know, you get a break, Mike. Your body feels good, and all
now
of a sudden
you want to get back in it. Yeah. Everybody wants to retire after the last game of the season.
So I don't blame him on that. I just hope he can come in here. I know he's probably motivated to get back at it, and hopefully he can help us. But it's not an under the table kind of deal. It's a good signing. Hopefully he can come help us. All right, man. We got to get out of the way. Turtle's got a full show tonight, Big O. Full four, so stay here. Turtle has got you covered. Let's get out of here, man, and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
To Big O behind the glass, our engineer, handling business, man, keeping us on point. Thank you, sir. Day-Day Executive Producing, and thanks to you for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show, Dukes and Bell. We're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Will we have a deep philosophical conversation tomorrow? Probably not.
Well, I was having like this existential crisis over how I'm going to communicate my feelings about the Falcons.
You were like, I've been thinking.
I hope I'm wrong. I'm just, after, look, guys, 28 years of me being the hype man for this team. Not this year. I'm not feeling it. The quarterback is the thing. Until I know, and if maybe, Carl, we'll revisit this thought process when we know who the freaking quarterback's going
to
be.
Oh, the quarterback's Tua. We just need to revisit it when this team shows up and plays some damn football. All right, man. Tomorrow we're back at 2. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Uh-oh. Is this like Michigan with Connor Stallions all over again? A cheating scandal somebody got in Alabama high school football. Guntersville High School's new associate head coach and defensive coordinator had to resign after a public intoxication charge at the ARAB High School Football Jamboree on Friday night. According to 48 News, the Guntersville City Board had a special meeting, and they said Jerry Folks won't take that resignation. Apparently, you were sloshed in public. And apparently, he and some other coaches of Guntersville were at the ARAB Jamboree, and they was trying to get on that ARAB sideline because they're going to play him next week. So the news is, when they said, hey, why are you on the sideline, Folks flashed some sort of pass, try to pretend he's in the media, which he ain't. So you're fired. Scandal over there in Alabama.
Speaking of college football, you believe you went up front, right?
Yeah.
What if I told you Georgia has the best offensive line in college football?
Hey.
If you believe that, then you believe they'll be right back in the mix for a national championship. But wait.
There's more.
A lot of people believe Texas also has the best offensive line in college football. Bottom line is, I expect to see these two teams in the SEC championship. Don't want to leave out A&M. They're really good, too. But when Georgia was winning chips, they were running through people and owning the line of scrimmage. And this may be another year where that happens. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
he's overserved at the ARAB football jamboree.
So I think both things are true.
Hey, it's Chrisomus Turtle coming up on Tuesday. Should Matt Olson be in the MVP?